Repentance is joy. These are the seemingly paradoxical words of a New Testament scholar writing about some of the parables of Jesus, including the parable of the lost coin, which I told to the children earlier on, and the parable of the prodigal son, which we will be thinking about next Sunday. One of the messages of these parables is that repentance is joy. During Lent, we are particularly encouraged to think about repentance. We hear in the Eucharistic prayer for Lent, in these 40 days you lead us into a desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline, we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Repentance means turning around. And although repentance is turning from sin, darkness, and death, it is ultimately turning to light, life, and love, entering into joy. It's because of the joy offered to us that we repent. Repentance is joy. We'll come back to the joy later, but first, let's notice that the New Testament readings, all the readings today, in fact, are about repentance, and they are pretty somber. They focus more on the dire consequences of not repenting rather than on the joy set before us. Paul warns the Corinthian Christians against complacency, and he draws on the story of the people of Israel in the wilderness. The Christians at Corinth were proud of their spiritual achievements and their spiritual gifts, and at least some of them tended to presume on the grace of God and believe that they could live however they liked. As long as they were baptized and partaking regularly in the Lord's Supper, they didn't seem to think it mattered that they participated in pagan meals or they lived immoral lives. Paul reminds them of the people of Israel in the wilderness. They too had their equivalent of baptism and the Lord's Supper. They were God's covenant people, and God had delivered them from slavery and taken them through the Red Sea and given them manna to eat and water to drink. Yet, they still turned away from God by worshipping idols, by indulging in sexual immorality, and by constantly murmuring and grumbling against Moses and against God. And many of them died before reaching the promised land. Paul warns the Christians at Corinth to learn from the story of the Israelites in the desert. They must not treat the grace of God lightly. This is a message for us too. We may be part of the people of God, baptized members of the church, regularly receiving communion. But like the people of Israel, we can still go astray. We can be taken over by idolatry, sexual immorality, a complaining and grumbling spirit, and end up dead in a desert, far from our promised land. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. Paul's message is that our God is a holy God and he wants our wholehearted love and loyalty. It matters how we live. Perhaps we all need to consider what might be the idols in our lives. What are the things we devote our attention to? What are the things we hanker after? How do we use our time, our energy, our money? Do we live in a way that honours God? Now, of course, such self-examination and reflection could end up making us all feel pretty depressed. We may all be daunted, despairing of the recurrent patterns of failure in our lives. But Paul's intention is not to make the Corinthians despair, but to prompt them to repent, to turn around from their proud complacency and admit their need of God's grace. Paul's words challenge us too. Let us not get stuck either in a self-satisfied pride at our own spiritual status or a despaired, fearful despair at our own failures. Instead, we need to turn around from ourselves and turn back to God. In Him, we will find light, hope, and joy. In our Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah also calls the people to repent. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's addressing the Israelites in Babylon, in exile. Most of them have got used to their life there, settled down in the Babylonian Empire. Isaiah sets before them a contrast between their current way of life and the rich and fruitful life that God offers them. Why spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? The Lord urges them to find their true nourishment in Him. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline to me, come to me, listen, so that you may live. To receive this nourishment, this rich life, they need to turn to God. They need to repent. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, to our God, who will abundantly pardon. Turning to God involves recognizing God's holiness and how different his thoughts and ways are from ours. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our God is holy. God does not simply shrug at our failures, smile indulgently and pat us on the back and say, it doesn't matter how we live or what our thoughts and ways are. Instead, he wants us to be his people, to grow to be like him. Well, such a thought may lead us back to discouragement and despair. We know only too well how unlike God we are, how often our thoughts are centered on ourselves, how often we set up our own idols or indulge in our own appetites, rather than seeking after God and the life and nourishment that he offers us. We cannot of ourselves make ourselves to be different people, but we can repent. We can turn afresh to God and his grace. And when we do this, we find joy. For when we begin to seek after God, we discover that God is already seeking after us. Yes, his thoughts and ways may be different from ours, as far as the high as the heavens are from the earth, and the gap between us and God may be enormous. But God has bridged that gap and come among us in his Son. He is seeking after us long before we begin to seek after him. And when we turn to him, he welcomes us into his love. This is the joy of repentance, and we will be considering this more next Sunday as we think about the story of the prodigal son. Today, let's remember that the call is to let go of our pride and complacency, to hear God's call to turn around, to come to him and live. The exiles in Babylon are promised that when they do this, when they turn around to God and when they put their trust in God, their lives will be transformed. And the prophet speaks of a joyful homecoming to their own land. A few verses after our reading, we hear, "You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace." But the joy of repentance is not a one-off thing. Repentance is not something we do once and then go away and forget all about it. We need to go on turning to God again and again and again throughout our lives. Let me recommend a simple spiritual practice which we might want to try and do to help us to do this. It's based on the prayer of Examine by St. Ignatius. At the end of the day, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to remember the events of the day, our encounters with others, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions. And then we give thanks to God for something good in that day. However horrendous the day may have been, there's always something to give thanks for. And then we say sorry for any mean thoughts, words or actions, any failures to live in love. And finally, we look forward with trust and joy to the next day. This practice is a very simple prayer of turning to God every day, both giving him thanks and repenting of our failures. And it's a prayer which can bring us great freedom and joy. Repentance is joy. Of course, repentance is not something we do just as individuals. We confess our sins together every service. Some of our sins may be personal sins, some of them may be corporate sins. And as we confess, we are also aware of the darkness, the violence, the cruelty of the wider world of which we are a part. And I'm not just thinking of what's happening in Ukraine, but in many parts of our world. Often, we too are implicated in the unjust structures which perpetuate the sufferings of others. Our whole world needs to turn to God. What is certain is that we need support from one another to grow in holiness. In the words of Pope Francis, growth in holiness is a journey in community, side by side with others. We are not alone. As Paul tells the Corinthians, no testing has ever overtaken you that is not common to everyone. The temptations and struggles we face in our own Christian lives are not unique. We are in this together. We all have our own spiritual work to do, and we can't appropriately discuss everything with everyone. But as in the Christian life generally, repentance and growth in holiness is not a solitary task. We are the body of Christ, and it is together that we are transformed into his image. It is together that we are to repent and believe the gospel. Christ is in our midst, and we are called by his name. May our common life in him prompt each of us to a deeper repentance and also lead us to discover more of the joy that is set before us. Repentance is joy. So let us turn from sin, selfishness, and idolatry of any kind, and turn to the God who is already turned towards us. And we will discover the joy of his welcome and his love. Amen.